With the 36th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Miles Jack, linebacker, UCLA.
That is an awesome pick. I mean, he's a draftable tailback. He's a top five pick. All the rumors were Jacksonville in the first round, and they came back, traded up, got him in the second.
I've seen the guy line up number one receivers. I've seen him cover tight ends. I've seen him play running back. I've seen him flat back offensive guard. So he's got a rare combination and skill set that we just felt like it was time to pull the trigger. The risk was worth the reward.
This is honestly the place I wanted to be at. I was telling everybody, you know, before the draft, like, if I could choose a place to come, it would be Jacksonville, just with the, really just starting with the head man, Gus Bradley. He's an honorable man. Me and him connected really quick. I felt like, you know, I could trust him in everything, and just where the program is heading, I feel like it was a great place to be a part of.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
I feel like we've heard that open a lot lately. Am I wrong? I mean, I'm not being critical of Tyler here.
I don't know. We've gotten the draft picks a lot lately.
How often can you go back to, you know, hey, we beat the Bills last year? You know what I mean? It's like Tyler hasn't had to create too many new and exciting opens lately, because there haven't been too many new and exciting.
And I don't even know that you'd want to hear the two from this year. At this point in time, at 2-7, I'm not sure fans want to hear that stuff. I will say, because we're going to have a lot of negative to get into with this football team and this game yesterday, and the way that the whole thing actually turned out for this team. Again, 2-7 now, and we refused to talk basically playoff scenarios last week. We're certainly not going to this week. That's dead and gone. But I will say, maybe the play that is most burned in my mind from that entire game yesterday was Miles Jack walking down Lamar Miller.
Oh, Miller's a 4-3 guy.
Right. I don't even know if TV can do justice to what Miles Jack did on that play. I mean, it was, oh, he's gone. And then, he was walking him down. Like, there was no chance Lamar Miller was going to get away from Miles Jack. It was a crazy athletic play from that guy. And unfortunately, I think Jeff said on the broadcast, Unique Ngakoue is the guy who got out of his gap. I don't know if Deshaun Gibson should have been over there filling that gap or not. But watching Miles Jack show off that speed and athleticism, that was a special moment in a game not full of many of them.
Well, I mean, on that play, I believe it was Ngakoue had his arms all the way around Lamar Miller, like around his entire upper body, yeah. Tony, just slid right off of him, and there he goes. I mean, that should have been one that was stopped for about a yard or two gain, and it's kind of emblematic. You know, it's a handful of those. Oh, if we just, you know, that play and that play, but every week it's five or six plays that if they only had all gone in our direction, we could have had a better chance. I mean, it's a 3-point game, so it wouldn't have taken much, but
no.
Kansas City's going, well, if we had hit that field goal, Kansas City, Houston is saying, if we had hit that field goal or that field goal, mm-hmm. you know, we had our opportunities that we didn't capitalize on either.
Or if they had caught that interception late in the first half. I mean,
right.
Who knows? Because there was nothing but big bodies on the left side of that field.
Oh, that was going for six. There's no question in my mind that was going for six. So you're right. I mean, both teams can do it. We tend to focus on the ones that could have helped out the home team. By the way, we've heard that open however many times. I don't know if I've ever quite it's clicked in my head. Dave Caldwell's expression that he used for Miles Jack, he said he would flat back offensive guards, basically pancake them, right? I don't know if I've ever ate that ever clicked in my head that he would flatback them like that. I kind of like that. He flatbacked them. It's just a different way of saying he pancaked them. Usually you think of a pancake as a block that an offensive lineman delivers to a defensive lineman. But nevertheless, there are a few good moments like that. And honestly, as we're watching that, that was the first thing in my mind. You were upstairs in the press box. Mm-hmm. I was down here in the studio. And we're watching the same thing, and I thought, wow, Lamar Miller's one of the fastest running backs in the National Football League, and he was running in a straight line, sprint, gone.
You said Lamar's combine 40 time was what, 4.35?
I think JP looked it up. He had an unofficial in the 4.2s, and I think the official was 4.34. Was what it
was.
That's
incredible. Wow.
For Lamar Miller, right. I mean, he's Miles Jack, we know, is fast. He's a great athlete. Hopefully that's a sign of bigger things to come in the future. That's we're not trying to hang our hat on that and say, hey, look, it's great. Miles Jack ran a guy down who ran for 40-something yards. You know, if that's what you have
That's about what there is right now.
Look, there was some positive, but we're not trying to whitewash the circumstance. They're 2-7. They're going nowhere fast, you know. And I know Malik Jackson's trying to keep things positive after the game yesterday, saying, "Hey, we could still win this division." Mathematically, you could. I'm not playing that game.
He was not positive when I was over there talking.
Is that right?
Oh no. Oh no.
It's great audio. It's very good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that coming up. We got a lot of good audio from the post game yesterday. Want to hear your feedback today, especially in this first hour. John Osier is going to join us at 11 o'clock, but we'll continue to take calls and texts and tweets and whatnot throughout the course of the program. Today's question of the day, I had to really cram it in there. 140 characters is restrictive sometimes on Twitter when I try to get that hashtag in there, Tony, and all that. But bottom line, Blake is struggling. We know he's struggling, okay? As a Jaguar fan or someone who really cares about the outcome of this team, if you're just a fan of another team and don't really have a say, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone who's a little bit emotionally invested in this fan base or in this team and are part of the fan base and understand all the implications of what happens when you bench what is supposed to be your franchise quarterback. But the question is, if Blake continues to struggle, are you in favor of seeing, whether it's Henny or Allen, getting an opportunity to start a football game or more this year, not due to injury, but just due to the fact that Blake's not getting it done, and tell us why or why not? There are multiple reasons why you may say yes or no to that question. At least in my mind, I could come up with several on both sides. So, some people say, hey, this is obvious. He's not playing well. Sit him down. That's fine. If that's how you see it, that's great. Just weigh in on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Text line will be open to you at 641-1010. It's driven by Duval Ford. And, of course, that's the same number for the phone lines. You can come on board. We've already got the phone lines loading up right now. So be patient. We got to take a time out here. We'll come back, get to your calls, your reaction. We'll hear some post-game sound from the locker room. Tony, Lauren Brooks, and others in there yesterday for 1010XL. So we'll have all that coming your way. Coming up on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday with Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. We're live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Sandwiches and Subs, a Jacksonville original and going strong now for over six decades. You know what? Dandy never has a losing season. They're always in the winner's column because they're always delivering what they promised every single time. That's high-quality food at a price you can afford. It's a simple formula for Dandy, whether it's sandwiches, subs. They're always expanding their menu. They've got breakfast items now. They've got quick lunchtime wraps for on-the-go. It's all on-the-go eating with Dandy, and it's all delicious, it's all fresh, and it's all wholesome. And again, the price point is absolutely out of this world. Two breakfast sliders for only $3. Go find breakfast on-the-go any cheaper anywhere in town. That's going to be more satisfying than that. You're not going to be able to do it. Where do you go? You go to Kangaroo Express. You go to Circle K. You walk right into the fresh case. You skip those long lines in the lunchtime drive-thru, and you walk out satisfied with a Jacksonville company delivering the goods time and time again. Dandy and the Andy Time Deli Line. Folks, whenever you're hungry, do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at EverBank Field. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at EverBank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is 3rd and 16 from their own 19-yard line. Shotgun for Osweiler. They hand it to Hunt on an inside handoff. The team Hunt to the 25, to the 30. Out past the 35, he's going to have a first down.
Holy cow.
That's f***ed up, man. Quote me on that. He's got to do better. I mean, on a run, I know when I was on the right side, I thought it was a pass. Sure, you know, but we just got to get off blocks. And everybody made a mistake thinking it was a pass. We just got to get off blocks and make the tackle. And nobody seemed to do that, and we lost. So that's what I said, like 2 or 3 plays as a defense will show us that we lost the game, but we were playing a damn hell of a game.
Oh, boy. That's Malik Jackson. That's effed up, and you can quote me on that. We will. We just did. Everybody thought it was pass. Okay, at what point when the third-string tailback is running the ball do you say, hey, guess what? It's no longer pass.
That's up, man.
Yeah, well, it may be. But tackle, I mean, there are plenty of times, Tony, we probably think team's going to pass in this situation, but for goodness sakes, never heard of a draw play on 3rd and long, you know?
Right.
I mean, come on. We thought it was pass, and therefore any run play is going to pick up the first down when it's 3rd and 16 to go. Akeem Hunt, let's run a little jet sweep action and let's follow right behind the wide receiver, blowing open a hole. Did he get touched for the first 15 yards of that?
I don't believe so.
Oh, my gosh. So, look, I get it all the time. I should ignore it, but it's not my nature. You guys are all just trying to blame it on Blake. No. There's plenty to go around. When the quarterback's not playing well, that's your biggest problem.
No doubt.
That is your biggest problem, and that is a big problem they have. If you had a quarterback playing really high-level football right now, you'd be winning games because you're losing games. Even with all the other things going wrong, you're losing games by a very small margin. If they had stopped at 3rd and 16, do they win the game? Maybe not, but they would have had a better chance, Tony. They wouldn't have allowed the Texans to burn more time off the clock, add another field goal. It's a one-possession game, all these things that go into it. So I don't know if they win or not. Maybe they find a different creative way to lose the game, but it certainly would have given them a better chance.
No, look, I think it's a football game, so everything works together to lose it for you. Now, the big bullseye is going to be on the quarterback. The defense, look, you allowed the opposing quarterback to throw for 99 yards. You weren't bad that day, but you weren't good enough when you needed to be good enough. And that 3rd and 16 is an example of it. It's as even if you felt like Jalen Ramsey did a good job against DeAndre Hopkins yesterday, he'll tell you himself, they knew what was happening on 3rd and 5 at the end of the game.
And they didn't make a play.
And he didn't make the play. So he's going to tell you that it didn't matter what happened for the first 59 minutes. I didn't make the play when I needed to. And it didn't matter how well the defense had played in that game. On the couple of occasions where they really needed to make a play, they didn't make the play. I know I wrote a little bit about this yesterday for the Jaguars daily blog on 1010XL.com. But I went back and I was curious about the numbers comparing how many teams have found a way to lose a game when they hold a team to 1 for 14 on third downs compared to how many teams have lost the game when they've held the opposing quarterback to 99 yards but allowed 2 touchdowns. Right? He still threw 2 touchdowns in the game. And the 1 for 14 is much more rare. There's only been 4 teams that have lost since 2000 with those kind of numbers. So 4 times that's happened, including last week. I think it was 16 times since 2000. A opposing quarterback has thrown for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns and won the game. So
it's possible.
So last week was more rare, but that doesn't mean that this one's a common occurrence in the National Football League.
Well, I think it's more common because you can envision scenarios where a team scores multiple defensive touchdowns and they don't have the ball as much.
Turn the ball Jags, over. They run the ball really well that day.
Exactly. Jags dominated time of possession in the first half, and so Houston doesn't have the ball. They're in the game. They've got a lead. They don't need to throw it around willy-nilly, particularly when one of their top receivers is out.
Sure.
I'm not making any excuses. Osweiler's got his own issues, but he's a better quarterback yesterday. He made the throw when it mattered. Didn't throw the pick six. I mean, anyway. Let's get to the phone calls because we can go around and around and around on this, and we want to give you a chance to react as we do every Monday. Let's start with Julian on the south side at 641-1010. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
We can now. Yes, go ahead.
All right. So I just want to let all of Jacksonville area know you need to stop hoping that Blake Bortles is going to turn it around. We've all heard the stats. He's the worst quarterback in the league when it comes to interceptions, pick sixes, wins since he's come into the league. A quarterback that bad doesn't turn around in the offseason. Not going to happen. I don't know what else anybody else needs to see from Blake Bortles to let everyone know that he's not the guy. Another overthrown wide receiver wide open or underthrown, another hot ball. Like, come on. Let's get him out of there. We need some competent quarterback play. Please. Let's come on. We're tired of this. I'll take
the
comments off
the air. I don't know what I have no comment to say. I mean, we're just letting you have your say on this. I mean, do I – put it this way. If I had to bet money, will Blake turn out to be the franchise – what is defined franchise quarterback at this point? I mean, a guy who will Blake Bortles ever lead this team to the playoffs? If I had to bet money right now, I'd bet no.
Me too.
I mean, first of all, the odds are he's not going to be starting much longer beyond the 2016 season if he keeps up his level of play right now, period. Because if he does, they're going to continue to lose games. There'll be a new coaching staff, possibly a new front office, and they're not going to be committed to a guy that they didn't draft. They're going to say, hey, let's start fresh. That's a very increasingly likely scenario right now.
They remain, it just feels fragile with this football team. Because, look, he threw the pick six and he responded immediately. They drove down the field. They got the touchdown. It was like, okay, it's going to be a bit of a ball game. Then the big run for Miller and Houston scored on their first drive where they actually held the ball to take the 14-7 lead. And that's where the whole thing just kind of went to a standstill in that football game. And when Blake had the opportunity with Allen Hurns running just behind everybody, and he overthrows him. Like, I actually threw my glasses on the counter up in the press box. I was just holding my head in my hands. Like, how is this possible that if he's going to have five or six opportunities, and I get it, it's not a super high percentage throw, those downfield throws in the NFL. Someone told me it's about a 40% throw, right? Well, he's had five or six chances of that throw in the left. Just hit one.
Right. I agree. Everyone say you have to hit that throw every time is wrong because you don't hit that throw every time. But you can't. He misses it, it seems.
He hadn't hit it.
Well,
this year he hadn't hit it.
Like he hit the one to Marquise Lee.
But that, how far downfield was that?
He caught that. That was his 51-yard reception.
And yeah, I don't know how far.
Not much run after the catch.
It
was pretty far down the field.
But, like, he's not hitting them when they're wide open like that. And he had Marquise later in the game where it was the same thing. But it was watching. They wind up punting on that drive. It should have been a walk-in touchdown. Instead, they wind up punting on that drive. Houston gets the ball, kicks it back to him, and that's when you had the face mask that wasn't called on the first down, where I know a lot of Jaguars fans were upset. Look, they should have thrown the face mask. Also, you shouldn't have a guy just running at your quarterback with an opportunity to grab him by the face mask. There's that on that play, too. You know, it's they should have thrown the penalty, but you could feel it after the Allen Hurns throw that everybody just came down. It was, okay, he's not going to give us that again today.
Right, we got an easy one. We got an automatic, and you're not taking the automatic. Let's get Desmond on the south side next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Desmond.
Good morning, man. I had told Tyler I wanted to be called Brown back because I didn't want my name to be on the air because this is an embarrassment, man. I would like to say, Blake Bortles, you know, leaving the game yesterday, you know, everybody wasn't talking about firing Gus. It's like more so just benching Blake because – Blake, from college, from his interceptions to touchdown, he was 50-50 throughout his whole college collegiate year. Then you get here, then we expect better and we need better and you don't perform up to everybody's expectations. Then you have the analyst rooting for the Jaguars throughout the whole beginning of the year and you come out and not do anything that you're supposed to. I feel as that it's time to start Allen. Bye-bye, Blake. I'm tired of seeing you. Or we can go and draft JT Barrett or anybody with that nature. But it's time for Blake to sit down. And I think it's more of Blake and not Gus. But, you know, everybody has different opinions on that. And I just think it comes off.
All right, well, Desmond, first of all, you're factually incorrect on his touchdown to interception ratio in college. 25-9 his last year. 25-7 the year before and 6-3 is as a freshman. So he was vastly superior than what you're talking about.
Like
56-19 was what he was, touchdown interception ratio in college. So when you come on and, I mean, I'm not saying your point about Blake overall that he may not be the right guy is wrong, but you undercut your own argument when you throw out there that he's been nothing but a 50-50 touchdown interception ratio guy going back to college because he was better than 2-1 in college, significantly better than 2-1. So, I mean, that's, you know, look, we don't need to embellish our argument. We see he's playing poorly. If you're going to cite numbers and facts, make sure they're actually facts. And you know, I know Desmond's a hardcore Jaguar fan. I'm not trying to pick on him, but that's just factually incorrect. He was 56-19.
It does. You mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I was thinking the same thing while we were watching the game yesterday, that we had gotten to a point where we're almost doing the same thing we were doing with Gabbert, where he would make a throw or two in a game, and you're like, there it is. That's him coming out of it. And it almost felt that way. You know, when he throws the pick six and he comes back and they get the drive down the field and they get the touchdown to tie it up, I almost felt myself going, there it is. That's going to shake him up. That's going to wake him up. We're going to get that 2015 Bortles again. And then, like, I tweeted about it. The replay people in the stadium need to stop replaying Blake's throws. Just stop. I don't care if he completes it, incomplete it. Don't throw it. Don't show it in slow motion. It's too ugly. No one wants to watch him throw the ball a second time and have to be put through that experience again because it was every one of them yesterday coming out of his hand. You were just like, oh my gosh.
It's a mortar shot.
Like, how is a quarterback in the NFL throwing a ball that badly? And I don't know if it's mental or if he just can't throw it. I know he's told two consecutive broadcast crews that he's not a natural thrower of the football. which I don't know what that means, but it sounds like it's a good thing to be if you're an NFL quarterback.
I would agree with that. We got to take a timeout. Bottom of the hour has passed. We'll come back and get more of your calls. It's 641-1010 and a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Another game goes by, another day of struggles for quarterback Blake Bortles. Yesterday, after the loss to the Texans, Allen Robinson had a chance to talk about his quarterback.
At the end of the day, offensively, you know, we've had a lot of ups and downs, you know, through each and every position group, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, we got to go out there, you know, try to maybe get some extra reps at it or something like that, you know, but just continue to help him, you know, with his confidence and things like that. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I've had drop. Stuff happens, so you know, you got to move forward.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
10-yard penalty, 11-yard gain, 2nd and 9 from the 44-yard line. Shotgun for Blake. They blitz this time. Tries to throw a screen out to the left side to Yeldon. It was tipped, and it is going to be intercepted.
No, I've never seen that. You know, from the time you start playing quarterback, they tell you if a screen's covered, throw it at his feet. Trying to, you know, I guess make a smart play, and live to play another down, and then that happens. So unfortunate, you know, stuff like that happens from time to time. You got to be able to bounce back from it.
Here's the problem with that. Hey, Blake's trying to make the smart play. I understand what he's talking about. You throw the screen at his feet, right? I get that. You do hear that. Okay, and I've had a couple of fans say, hey, look, this is just an example. The Jags just had the buzzard's luck, man. Nothing goes right for this team. What a fluky thing. Problem is, after a review, the official ruling on that play is a fumble because that was not a forward pass. He threw it backwards. It was a lateral. So even if it doesn't bounce off Yeldon's foot right to Whitney Mercilus, it is a live ball, okay? You can't be so nonchalant about throwing it at his feet that you're not sure if you're throwing a forward pass that would have been, it wouldn't have been ruled incomplete, Tony, if there had been a clear recovery. Let's say that ball had bounced and then hit Yeldon's foot and Whitney Mercilus recovers it. They would have gone to the review. They would have said that's a backwards lateral, clear recovery by the defense. It still would have been a turnover. Doesn't matter. That's just one small example, but don't point to that play is my point. As an example of just what horrendous luck, what are the odds kind of thing,
no,
bad breaks of the game. You created that break in some ways.
It's a bad play, and I will say that listening to Blake Bortles and that, and it's kind of like a resounding thing from just this entire season, stuff like that happens. Yeah, stuff like that does happen to bad football teams.
Right, when you throw more passes, they go to the other team.
And every week, stuff like that happens to the
pick
Jaguars.
Pick sixes, stuff like that happens.
Yeah, you dominate Kansas City and turn the ball over 4 times. That's a tough lesson.
When
stuff
you throw
like that
it
happens.
Late behind the receiver, the defensive back will jump the route. Sometimes that happens. Boy, let's go to Christoph in the UK. Good morning, Christoph. How are you? Christoph.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, now we hear you.
Oh.
What's up?
Yeah, there was something that I saw that popped up on Twitter, and I understand why it happens in London, because it's the international games, and it's an event, and all the fans of the league are in London for the game. But why on earth are the Jaguars selling other teams' merchandise in their stadium, especially the Titans? And other AFC South teams. So
right. I saw that too. And Christoph, what he's referring to is apparently somebody took a photo. I think I remember who it was, but I'm not going to say.
It was Cap.
That's what I thought, right?
Yeah,
I just didn't want to say and attribute it to someone incorrectly that the Jags in their official team store were selling Titans, Vikings, and Broncos gear, which to me, I just don't understand the logic of, all right, on game day, there'll probably be a lot of Broncos fans here if they can get tickets, right?
Sure.
Okay. Do you think, are the Broncos fans coming to the game against the Texans trying to get their gear? Like, hey, where can we get some Bronco gear? Hey, let's go to the Texan game. Let's go to the Jaguar team store and maybe they'll have some there for us. I mean, who is buying that?
I don't know.
I almost understand. It's as unpalatable as it is. I can even understand doing it on game day. Like, hey, Broncos fans, if you want to spend money here, it's money that's supporting our team. But what Bronco fan, what Titans fans are here watching Jaguars-Texans? How many could there possibly be in the stadium that aren't covered in mayonnaise at the time?
I don't think you should be selling opposing teams' gear in the stadium. I do think, like, if I, as a fan, that would be an insult to me to see that kind of thing going, especially a rival like Tennessee.
How much can you possibly be making on this to justify the bad PR?
And I know I've seen people saying, well, they've seen it in other stadiums. Have you seen it in other stadiums, or have you seen vendors outside of other stadiums that are coming to try to hawk something to an opposing fan?
Right.
Is it inside the stadium, or is it outside the stadium? Because there is a vast difference between those two things. And look, I don't know. Maybe they are seeing other teams do this inside the stadium, because I know people have been responding to it all morning long. If it was me, yes, I'd be furious that my team is selling. As a Giants fan growing up, if they were selling Cowboys gear inside the stadium, I'd be all kinds of upset. That doesn't belong in my stadium.
Yeah, and even if you overlook that aspect of it, I just don't see how much you think you're going to make off of that. I mean, how could that possibly be worth? Anyway, thank you, Christoph. You're not the only one who's commented on that. Appreciate it. Let's go to Daniel in Arlington next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, man. I wanted to preface this conversation by saying I thought Blake Bortles didn't even throw good last year, but since he was the wide receivers was making plays for him, a lot of people overlooked that. And so the feedback question today was like, should he get benched? And so, yeah, I think he should get benched, but not because there's better players or quarterbacks on the roster than him, but more because I feel like he needs a breather, man. Like, as a quarterback, he doesn't even look like he wants to be on the field. And so give him a break to actually want to make a play and want to be on the field. And that way, because sometimes when you sit on the bench, you can see the field and say, oh, I can make that play. Why haven't I done it? Or maybe he could try to start seeing clearly. But right now, he doesn't look like he wants to be on the field.
All right, I appreciate the call.
I think there was an opportunity to do that against Tennessee, and they didn't take it.
Yeah, granted, I don't think Blake doesn't want to be on the field. I understand what Daniel said. I mean, the body language is, to me, over the top. When, you know, the hands to the helmet, the demonstrative everything. Hey, man, you're the one making these plays. You know, if that is the state you're in, it's. I get it. You're saying let him take a step back, get a mental reset. I don't think it's a question of Blake wanting to play. He wants to play. He wants to play well, I believe. I don't question him in that regard.
No. But it goes back to the conversation we had coming out of the Tennessee game where I'm with you, where if you bench Blake Bortles before a football game, you have made a statement that he is not coming out of this. He is not the franchise quarterback, and we don't expect him to be going forward. If you bench him for somebody else going into a game, if in the middle of a game he's not playing well and you say, you know what, you're coming off for a while, you're going to watch the rest of this football game, that's a completely different story. They had the chance to do that against Tennessee. They decided not to do it.
No argument here.
And the door was wide open for him to do it, which makes me think there is no way Blake Bortles is coming off the football field for this team.
Right.
I just don't see how it's going to happen.
I mean, you say that until it finally may happen. I mean, I wonder, and I don't know this, it's national TV. Is that the story you want? Basically the Jaguars have benched their supposed franchise quarterback? I don't know, Tony. I don't know if that factors into it or not.
Coach is already being asked if they quit at halftime.
I'm just trying to, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just trying to think along with the process what could have factored into it, because I can't imagine much of a worse first half that he could have played on that night. Let's get Mary in Riverside next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. I want to talk about Blake, of course. It's with regard to his technique and the muscle memory issue. Allowing him to continue playing and creating muscle memory of his bad technique, I think, will likely result in further deterioration of his play. And I know it was stated at some point that something like this cannot be created in season. It basically has to be like off season. So isn't this actually, though, making it worse and more difficult to correct and or overcome, whether he does eventually play for us again or elsewhere? And my thought process is maybe allowing him to begin working on this now versus later, cutting our losses and put the season. I mean, we pretty much know it's not going to be a playoff season or anything, so I don't know whether we will put in which backup we'd put in, but I think maybe it's worth a thought, and just I'll take your comments.
So, let me just ask you, Mary. Let me interject. Are you saying do this with an eye towards you think he is salvageable if you go this route and you focus and say, hey, you know what? We're going to take you out of the glare of starting and we're going to focus on fundamentals and we're going to try to salvage you. Is that kind of your idea? Are you saying when you say cut your losses, are you saying you've seen enough? It's not going to get fixed here. I mean, which one of those?
Well, I would be open to trying to salvage him for next season if it could be. I really would, but I don't think that you should just leave him here. You know, just sort of like the last person was saying. I mean, it's putting him through agony, obviously. I agree with you that he's not – he is trying his best. He's doing his best, but he can't do it right now. And I don't think it's a will thing. I think he just can't. Maybe we can salvage him. I would like it if we could. But if we can't, I just
so
don't
be
see
right.
any way to go – any good coming out of leaving him in here for both himself, personally, professionally, or for the team.
Okay. Hey, Mary, I appreciate it. A very well-reasoned look at it, I thought. And, you know, I guess the feeling is, and I think Mary's argument is against this, is that can he play his way out of it? And she feels that, no, it's not going to improve. He's in a rut right now. I don't know, Tony, if he's creating new bad muscle memory or this is just his muscle memory, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's never been a beautiful thrower of the football. Go back to day one. Now, does he throw some beautiful football? Absolutely. But does he do it consistently? How about this idea? Just as a general rule. Forget this situation. Just as a general rule for football GMs. Draft guys who throw the ball well if you're going to have them play quarterback.
It's not a bad idea.
Would that be a good way to go about it instead of saying, "Hey, like, we're gonna draft a guy that's got all these things except for the fact that he doesn't throw the ball particularly well, and we're gonna try to fix that."
It becomes part of the draft process now. Are you a natural thrower of the football?
Your eyes will tell you that, right?
I mean,
you see the way the ball spins when it comes out of somebody's hand. And I'm not trying to pile on Blake. I'm really not. This is just look. Do you think we want to have this conversation? No, we don't. I would have thought this team had a better chance to be. I don't know if I would have thought they had a better chance to be 7-2 than 2-7, but I certainly didn't envision it playing out like this this year. Mary, thank you for the call. We do have to take a time out here. John Osher is going to join us coming up. We've got This Date in Football, the Honda Drive Around the NFL. More of your calls and texts and tweets and Facebook postings always welcome here on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Give us your feedback today on the quarterback position in particular and the state of the Jaguars as a whole. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, This Date in Football History. Let's go back November 14th, 1943. Tony, you remember this one well. Sid Luckman of the Chicago Bears became the first quarterback to do
what? He did something against
what?
The Giants.
He did it
I'm
against
sure he
the
did.
Giants. He did this against the Giants.
When you're
Seven touchdowns, Osher says. That is, he did throw for seven touchdowns, but he came also in that game the first quarterback to throw for more than 400 yards in a game. He threw for 433 with those seven scores against the New York Giants. It does seem like there's a lot of things that happen against the Giants.
Yeah, he can't be on the right side of all history.
1959, a dark day in sports history as the New York Jets were granted a franchise as the New York Titans, a charter member of the AFL. On this date in 1993, Dolphins coach Don Shula became the winningest coach all time. When you combine regular season and postseason victories, he picked up his 325th career victory. Playoffs included to move past Papa Bear Hallis as Miami beat Philadelphia 19-14 on that date. Shula would finish with 328 regular season wins against 156 losses, six ties during his tenure with both the Colts and the Dolphins, and a 19-7 postseason record to boot. Famous birthdays for this date, Dana Stubblefield. He was the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year for the San Francisco 49ers in 1993, the AP Defensive Player of the Year in 1997, a three-time Pro Bowler and a one-time first-team All-Pro. He turns 46 years old today. And Lawyer Malloy, former safety of the New England Patriots, born in this date in 1973. He is 43 years old and a four-time Pro Bowler to boot. And that is this date in NFL and football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, the NFL saw one of its wildest endings in a while yesterday afternoon. The New Orleans Saints had tied up the Denver Broncos at 23 apiece with a minute 22 remaining in the contest on a 32-yard touchdown pass from Drew Brees to Brandon Cooks. All the Saints needed was the extra point to take the lead, but it was blocked by the Broncos and returned for a two-point conversion that handed Denver a 25-23 lead. Even after a lengthy review, New Orleans went from taking a lead with 1 minute remaining to having to attempt a desperation onside kick, which they didn't recover, and the Broncos eventually won the game. There was a still shot photo that hit the internet shortly after the game was over that showed Will Parks, the rookie safety, that had returned the block kick for a two-point conversion, stepping out of bounds, a shot that was nearly impossible to see during the review because of the camera angle, and the white shoes didn't help either, with the white sideline basically being camouflage on that sideline. Dean Blandino spoke after the game saying maybe they really do need a camera basically on that sideline, which is something that apparently Bill Belichick has been angling for a couple of years now. Dak Prescott led the Dallas Cowboys to another win yesterday, tallying his first 300-yard passing game and throwing for two touchdowns, while Ezekiel Elliott scored three TDs of his own in the Cowboys' 35-30 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The win is the Cowboys' eighth in a row, which ties the all-time franchise mark for consecutive wins within a single season. That's right, Dak Prescott has a chance to set the all-time single-season mark in Dallas history for consecutive wins in one season. Dallas now has the best record in the NFL at 8-1 after the Patriots lost last night. Tony Romo inactive for the game yesterday, but Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said after the game that Tony will be active next week against Baltimore, and he will be the backup to rookie sensation Dak Prescott. And last night, Seattle and New England capped off the Sunday slate with, in pretty spectacular fashion, Seattle hanging on to win 31-24. Russell Wilson finally looks healthy for Seattle after dealing with ankle and knee injuries throughout most of the first 2 months of the season, throwing for 348 yards and three touchdowns, all to Doug Baldwin in a duel with Tom Brady, with both of them making just spectacular plays throughout the second half of that game. As good as Russ was in the game, Cam Chancellor, returning from injury himself, may have been better. Cam forced an Edelman fumble that put the Seahawks in position to extend their lead, made a tackle from behind, dragging LeGarrette Blount away from the goal line on the final and decisive Patriots series of the game from the Seahawks' one-yard line, and was given the one-on-one assignment against Rob Gronkowski on the fourth and goal pass that sailed incomplete to lock up the game for the Seattle Seahawks.
At least that Cam played well yesterday. That
he did.
That interception that Cam Newton threw that got returned for a touchdown by Eric Berry was...
Ooh. It was rough.
Oof, not MVP-like, let's just say that. So, by the way, for the many people that have inquired, and I know not everyone, some people have asked, what about Romo? And they know that trade deadline is passed, and they're thinking down the line in the future. Who knows what happens down the line in the future? But even if the trade deadline hadn't passed from the Dallas Cowboys,
no,
what would you have to give me to take away my insurance policy on a team that is headed like a steamroller to the playoffs and possibly the number one seed in the NFC, it would have to be crazily significant. So regardless, trade deadline is passed. You're not going outside for any quarterback help, but we're going outside to Jaguars.com. John Osier joins us now here, the senior writer for said website. Hello, John. How are you?
No musical intro? I mean, no. Usually I've got like little sound coming in. There's a buildup.
That's what we do when
like a drum roll
when we come out of a break. Playing right now. If you had your headset on, you would have heard it. You know who are
there,
you?
Yeah,
O'Halloran.
Yeah. What's that?
Honestly, are you O'Halloran?
Evidently not. I'm not as popular.
Don't wear a headset. How would you know if we're playing your?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I like to come in complaining and then go from there.
I guess so. Apparently so. I'll ask you the question that we're asking everybody else today. If the struggles continue to this degree that we've seen for Blake Bortles, is there, in your opinion, value in benching him or to see someone else play quarterback, be it Henny or Allen this year?
If you're convinced that it's over, he's not the guy, and he's never going to be the quarterback of this team, then yeah, you probably do it.
That's the condition, though, for you.
Yeah, and I don't think they believe that. I don't think it's going to happen. Would there be value in it? I don't know how much value there'd be in it because I don't think you're going to win doing that.
Well, but, I guess to play devil's advocate,
sure.
Because Tony and I have said,
and I get the discussion. I'm not discounting it.
Right, so. Tony and I have said we would play it out with him because these the next seven games you got to work at. You know, to me, taking time off isn't going to make him better. And I get some people think it's reinforcing bad habits, but some people are saying, look, I don't think Henny's the answer. We know Henny's not the long-term answer. Well, let's find out if the young guy, you know, here you've got an environment where you're not going anywhere anyway. Whether it's, I'm not saying this week,
but we're
saying take the next 3 weeks or whatever and get him ready and prepare him, spend extra time with him, preparing him. Look, we don't see him every day
right.
out there. We don't know how far
And we don't
he
see him
is.
Since training camp. In training camp, there were certainly flashes where you saw a spiral. You know, he throws a good ball, all that. Didn't necessarily look ready to quarterback an NFL team. That's not why they drafted him this year. That was never the plan. But I get, when you see what's been going on so far, I get why people sort of pound the table for that.
People said that about Blake, too. I mean, the regime said he's not ready to play his first year.
Right.
Didn't want him to play, and here he was in week three. The offense was doing nothing, and they have him in against the Indianapolis Colts.
Little different because there had been times in the preseason where he had really shown sort of a spark.
Understood.
You know, so I don't know that Allen has really done that sort of thing, but I get it. I'm not trying to argue.
Right. I'm not trying to argue into playing Brandon Allen. I personally would play Bortles. I respect and understand why people. And in fact, it's overwhelming how many. And now, you know, it's not like you're polling every person who considers himself a Jaguar fan. You're polling a small slice who happen to be on Twitter who are.
With
you know,
Pitchfork,
engaged,
sure.
And some of that, but there are others who are saying, hey, no, we're going to ride it out. I'd rather ride it out. Let's see what we've got in him right now. But, you know, I can't imagine at this point. I say I want him to ride it out, but yet it's difficult for me to imagine a switch is going to come on and he's all of a sudden going to elevate his level of play.
You know, and I guess the argument for, I just wrote it here, completed 32 of 49, and I get that a lot of them looked bad, but, you know.
Even the completions,
I know they did.
You got guys diving to make routine catches.
I'm just saying the argument for – I went back and watched the game this morning trying to look at it of, okay, if I didn't believe that Blake had played bad, let's watch this with a fresh set of eyes. And there were times, second drive of the game, early on the third drive of the game, early on time, where – the offense moved, where you could make the argument, okay, he got it going. The ball didn't look good, but it was there. There were completions. And then you sort of say, well, what would be your best case for saying he played poorly? Well, the pick six and then the two missed opportunities. And unfortunately, that's what the NFL is all about. So, I mean, the key moments, the key things that turn the game, didn't make the play at those times, and taking all the other stuff out, that's what matters.
Right. Those are the top reasons.
Yeah.
But then you have the other one that could have been picked off and gone back the other way if the defender can hang on to it. And as I said, I mean, how many times did Allen Robinson go horizontal to catch what should have been a ball where he could turn up field and make yards after the
catch? Marquise Lee have to go way vertical.
Right. Or any of those, you know, any one of the
receivers. Right. The Marquise play, you know, I sat there and I said, okay, play devil's advocate. Probably Marquise still could have made the catch on the long one we're talking about. But again, the problem is you make it so much more difficult with the throw.
Right. Right?
I mean, you know, it
that
yes.
should that's not a 50-50 ball. When we talk about 50-50 ball, that's when a guy is draped on you and
right.
you feel like your guy can outbattle him for the ball.
Right.
Those are acceptable risks to take sometimes.
Marquise would probably tell you after the play, you know, hey, I still should have caught it. I wouldn't have got my hands on it. But
if the throw's out in front, it's a 95-5 ball is what it is.
Right, that's my point. It is, so far this season, you know, there have been too many times where even when Blake completes the pass, he makes it a lot more difficult for the receiver because he increases the level of difficulty. So, I don't think they're going to make a change. I'd be very shocked if they make a change because I think they still think this guy is the guy. So... yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right. I don't see the change coming. I will say you mentioned the 32 out of 49, and they rushed the ball 22 times. I mean, that they were that out of balance in a game that was 14-10 going into the late third quarter. Again, they're just out of balance offensively, and Blake Bortles is not in any kind of shape right now to carry this football team, and because they couldn't get the run game really going yesterday, you saw the evidence again. When it's put on Blake right now, he can't carry it.
No, and... I said for a few weeks now, at some point, you know, you need to be in here talking about the great plays he made to win you a game. And so far, no good.
All right, we got to take a timeout here. And when we return, we'll take some of your calls. I know people have been patiently hanging on the line. If you hang in there, you'll be rewarded with the opportunity to speak your piece coming up at 641 641- 1010. Likewise, on the text line driven by Duval Ford, the question of the day out there on social media presented by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships is what we've been talking about all morning. Are you in favor of benching Blake if he continues to struggle, in favor of starting either Henny or Allen? And if so or not, why or why not? So share your thoughts with us on Twitter and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and John Osher here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today.
Had a ton of opportunities. I'm in the National Football League. Got to find a way to make plays. The coaches did a phenomenal job putting us in great positions, and we didn't deliver. You know, that was something that we talked about all week, was delivering for our coaches and for each other. And when we had the opportunity to do so, we didn't do so in many instances in this game.
All right, that's Kelvin Beachum yesterday after the game. That also was John Osher's intro that he requested a moment ago, which we always play coming out of that first break.
Yeah, the quote kind of threw me off. I like to have the intro almost
clean,
like a runway.
Standalone. Kind of
well,
thing.
And then you just go off the.
Just go.
If it was women, sort of like a run up on a vault in gymnastics.
They didn't deliver. I mean, you can say all the, you know, all these guys talking about, you know, we're beating ourselves. It's a this play, it's that play. Well,
yeah.
Do it.
Then. That's what the league is.
We're right. We're way past, you know, we're a handful of plays away. Every team that loses, with the exception of the teams getting blown out, are a handful of plays away. And again, if you got those handful of plays, Houston could point to a handful of plays and they say, we could have made our field goals. We could have done this differently. We could have done a lot of things differently.
And it's a handful of plays, and it's true. But even the last couple of weeks, much like the Chicago game, which they pulled out, they're building themselves such a hill to climb. And then you get back in it late with a touchdown. And then, yeah, you have a chance. But your percentages when you're playing that way, when you're the 8 points or whatever the deficits have been, 11, 12 points, and you score, then you've got a chance to pull out. You know, you're going to win 1 out of 4 or 5 of those games, but you're putting your odds very low when you're trying to come back like that in the last 6 minutes of a game and give yourself a chance.
All right.
That's not how you want to win.
No, no question. Let's get Chris at the beaches. Thanks for waiting, Chris. Welcome to Jaguars Today. What can we do for you?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So, you know, I just wanted to chime in on this quarterback situation a little bit. You know, whenever Blake struggled his rookie season, I went back and did some research on, as I'm sure we all did, research on quarterbacks that struggled in their first years and then were able to overcome that. And I was very skeptical after his rookie year as to how successful he could be. And then sophomore season, obviously, he produced. And everybody thought he could be the answer. And this year, he's regressed. And, you know, a lot of it, I think, it stems from his confidence. I think he might have bought into it a little bit too much. And then he regressed with his mechanics. And he just really seems to have lost that confidence on the deep ball, and his accuracy has fallen, and he's throwing those first quarter interceptions that just kill us. And, you know, I think he has to finish the season. I don't think there's any other way that we can go about it. But, you know, as far as going forward, I really do think that Dave Caldwell has done a lot of great things for this team. I think, what he's done with the defense this year. I mean, we held Osweiler to under, you know, 100 yards, which is phenomenal. And, you know, the defense is playing well.
Look, in a vacuum, it's phenomenal. But when Houston doesn't have the ball because their defense is scoring and then they're able to run it down your throat and control the game that way and never trail – Osweiler didn't need to throw for a ton of yards. I'm not saying Osweiler was great. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to hold an opponent under 300 yards. But you got to look at the circumstances, you know. Key third downs. How many did the Jags let him convert, right? I mean, you know, including the game winner. Osweiler only threw for 99. He hit the pass he had to make when he had to make it.
Hit three big ones, yep.
Yeah, I mean, particularly, though, the clincher, the Hopkins, when you kind of know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I'm not – I think the bigger point that Chris is trying to make, he said he told Tyler he wanted to talk about how he likes Caldwell's overall decisions. I think there is talent on the roster. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, but I'm not going to at the same time say just because 99 yards, that makes it a great day. You got to look at the circumstances of it. I mean, the Jags had the ball for the first six plays, and they got the possession right back, and they went down and scored. And then Houston answered. I mean, it's – you know.
Well, Houston certainly never was stressed to try to be dynamic offensively.
Right.
Which they played smart. They were given the lead immediately. They always had the lead, which in the last month, Jaguars opponents have always had the lead. So if you were Houston, the only way that you were going to feel like you were uphill in that game is if you made a mistake and let the Jaguars get ahead of you. So they played smart. And I think any defensive player would tell you, yeah, there were times and stretches they played good yesterday, but at the key moments, particularly the Ramsey play in the 3rd and 16, they didn't get off the field when it mattered, and those were the winning plays. Much like we are talking about the winning plays that Blake Bortles didn't make. Blake Bortles had 25, 30 plays where he was fine.
Yeah.
But then there were three or four key plays that he wasn't. Same's true of the defense. So it was very similar on that front. And as a result, you're 2-7.
All right, let's go to Shelton on the south side next up here on 1010XL. Good morning, Shelton.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good.
Here's my concern, man. I'm okay with letting Blake play the rest of the year out. But my concern is do the front office, do Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell see what we see? Are they going to really honestly evaluate him these last seven games to bring in competition or to bring somebody else in to say, okay, we need another quarterback? Is Coach Dave Caldwell ready to admit that he missed on the coach and missed on the quarterback? And that's the question, because if it's a foregone conclusion that Gus Bradley is leaving, so we bring in a new coach and we still hampered by bad quarterback play, it's going to be the same thing next year. And so I guess the question is do the front office feel how we feel? And I guess we'll never know that, but that's the concern I have, is do we get another coach and still have a bad quarterback?
Gotcha. Thank you, Shelton.
I don't think you'll know until we see how they handle the offseason.
Right.
And whether
right.
Dave Caldwell's around to even make that decision.
Yeah, sometimes in life we know the questions, and there's no way to speed up the time frame on the answers until they get answered.
Right.
I don't think we know those things yet.
And I don't think, look.
We can all have opinions.
I know there are a lot of people that have cemented their opinion. They believe, and they may be right.
That
this is heading towards a direction of no return, okay, for both the coach and the quarterback. Okay, but I think you can play devil's advocate and put yourself in the position of, all right, in this guy's second season, he set franchise marks mm-hmm. for productivity. He also had a bunch of bad plays, led the league in interceptions, but there was a lot of good that you felt he accomplished moving from season one to season two. Is that all written off after a really bad half season of season three?
Right.
Maybe you feel that it is, and you may be right. I'm not saying you're not, but you put that in the – that's got to go through the evaluation process. That's why I think – they're going to continue to let him play, because these next seven games are critical. Let's say you threw Chad Henne in there and he actually played well and you won a game. That may make you feel better, but in the big picture of what's good for this organization, you could say, hey, you know what? Winning a game is good for the organization.
No question.
I get that argument, and it is to a degree, but does it supersede the need to really give every opportunity to exhaust every possibility that this guy's the guy? Because if you make that decision that he's not – then it starts a whole new set of parameters in how you find that guy next year, and you're going in a completely different direction than if, let's say, you know, a couple games into these final seven games, the light turns on, and he starts playing better, and he starts getting his mental confidence back, and then over the last month of the season, he plays fantastic. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I think that's part of what you're weighing here.
Yeah, and remember, when you're making the decisions as an organization, you have to look at it. Who's going to be available? What are your options going to be in the offseason? And you have to make sure that you're not making a quick trigger based on, okay, this four-game set. Like you said, you have to bring last year into it. You have to bring the potential into it. You have to bring, can we get his mechanics fixed, et cetera, et cetera. It's the brain trust's responsibility to take everything into consideration that we don't necessarily talk about on the radio.
All right, let's get Jim on the west side next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, guys. Real quick, Mike, on a lighter note, I was ready to come down and pay your bill for you just because I don't know whether you noticed or not. Verizon stock dropped 4% Thursday morning. and I thought it was all because of you.
But the Dempsey effect.
I'm only taking credit for 3%, but thank you. Thank you, Jim.
I was going, I cannot believe it. But anyway, real quick, what I'm wondering is at what point do the receivers start losing it? Because you know they got to be under there, you know, sitting there with Marquise Lee and Allen, the Allen brothers are going, God, if we just had a quarterback that could give us the ball. You know, they're all up for paydays at some point pretty close. I mean, Allen Hurns already got his, but Marquise and A-Rob are both up for paydays at some point pretty close here. You got to believe they're going, am I going to deal with this now, or do I go someplace and, you know, I just started to wonder whether they start getting frustrated at some point.
All right. Thanks for the call. Do you sense that? I mean, I see some frustration sometimes on the field. Cough button right there. Right?
Sorry,
see there, pal. I see some frustration out there. He's a rookie broadcaster here, John Osier. I do see some body language frustration, but I don't know if it's just, you know, I'm not going to try to get inside their heads. I mean, have you seen evidence of this?
Well, I think body language and I think common sense would tell you you're a third-year guy, it's a talented receiver core, and when the quarterback is struggling with accuracy, it has to lead to frustration. I haven't heard or sensed that from the conversations. I think they really want to believe in Blake. They like playing for, with, alongside Blake. I mean, these guys all came in together. There's a bond there. I think they desperately want him to be the guy and to be good. I think it would be human nature if there wasn't some doubt. You know, so if you're asking me if I've seen evidence, not from conversations with them, not from being around them in the locker room, but it would seem logical that it's there.
I would think, yeah, logically, if you're just playing the common sense game, I would think there are 52 guys on the
roster. And some body language stuff, but the body language is also 2-7. It's
right. It could be just general frustration.
It's hard to say that's Blake Bortles' body language frustration. So you would think it's there.
Let's get IBM up next. Good morning, International Black Man number 2. How are you this morning?
Hey, man. What about we trade Blake to Dallas for Tony Romo or Zach Prescott?
All right. Well, IBM, if you're talking about after the season, are you talking about now or after the season?
Now.
Oh, well, the trade deadline's passed. You can't trade people in the
Tony
NFL.
Tony ready to go.
Okay, IBM, thank you. So are you.
Can you imagine the guy who answers the phone in Dallas?
Oh, gosh.
Hey, Jerry, I got Jacksonville.
Give me Dak Prescott, please.
Offering Blake for Dak Prescott.
Blake and what?
Is this a prank call?
Blake.
Am
and,
I being
and
recorded
right
now?
And I'm not trying to be snide toward Blake,
and the
but
pool and what, Dak's what else you're throwing in.
Right.
Just because you want that to happen, you have to put yourself in the other team's shoes. Why would I just give you a commodity to make you better? It's not going to – I mean, and first of all, again, the trade deadline has passed, IBM, which we just stated 5 minutes ago. You cannot trade after the trade deadline. If you're suggesting after the season, that's a different story.
If you could trade after the trade deadline, they would call it something else.
It would not be called a deadline. Right. Look, you're not going to – I think
– You're not fixing it.
If Blake plays this way the rest of the year, let's play Fantasyland now, because not many player trades get done in the NFL, and you wanted to move him. What are you going to get for Blake Bortles? 6th-round pick? I mean, honestly, you're not going to get
– I don't even know if you'd get that.
I'm just saying, would some team be willing to take a late-round flyer? I bet somebody would, something like that. That's what you got for Blaine Gabbert, right? You got a 6th-round pick that turned into Luke Bawenko.
You wouldn't get Tony Romo for him.
You would not.
No.
Right. You would start Dak Prescott. I mean, you know, people saying, hey, let's give a 2nd-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. I see it all the time. They spent a 2nd-round pick on Garoppolo.
Right.
Brady's 40, okay? Why would they give – that may be their future in New England. They're not just developing quarterbacks to help your roster out somewhere in some other place. You have to be realistic about – now, people suggested, could you sign Mike Glennon? Well, you could after the season if you want to bring him. I mean, there are guys like that, but there are not too many proven guys that are going to be available to you if this continues and you reach that point. Now, we're all having this hypothetical conversation assuming that – whoever the GM is going to, you know, if it's Dave Caldwell and he's retained, this is the guy he picked. What is his vision on it? I don't think we're going to know that until after the season.
Yeah, and for that's usually those are the meetings and conversations that take place in the few weeks right after the season. You know, and there's speculation.
Hard evaluation, right, where we stand.
Where they sit down and they grind through it and they come out with answers and direction. Speculation right now, they think they may go one way, but the hard, fast decisions do not get made on things like that till after the season.
All right, we got to take time out here. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. Basically, overwhelming response, at least on Twitter, Tony. Facebook's a little different, and it's interesting how the two different social media audiences approach things. But we asked you today, if Blake continues to struggle as he has, would you be in favor of some other quarterback starting a football game or games for this football team, and why or why not? So we'll share some of your thoughts when we come back on the other side on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and John Osher here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles struggled again in the loss to the Texans yesterday. Marquise Lee had a chance to talk about what's going on with this quarterback.
You know, as a quarterback, he got up and down. You know, he has some missed passes today, but, I mean, it happened. My thing is, of course, we try to lift him up, but at the end of the day, Blake knows that as a quarterback, you got to keep yourself pumped up too, you know what I'm saying? Because everything revolves around you. I look up to him. As far as when I come out, and I, you know, we got to go through our series, and I look at him to see how he is. And if he calm, cool, collected, then I'm calm, cool, collected.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
It's Tuesday's Talk with 88. Alan Hearns joins Dan and Jeff on the Drill Tuesday morning. Brought to you by Body Armor Natural Sports Drink and the Construction Law and Litigation Attorneys, Regan, Whalen, Zabuni, and Atwood. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. You know them as North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers to sporting arms, everything in between, rifles, shotguns, you name it, for the if you want home protection, you're a hunting enthusiast, whatever the case, Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns4Jax.com is the website. That's guns, the number 4, J-A-X.com, or visit them on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for our friends at Wild West Guns and Gold, our longtime Monday sponsors here of Jaguars Today. Before we get to the fan feedback spotlight, let's get one more call because Vaughn on the south side has been hanging on for a while. Vaughn, thanks for the call. What can we do for you?
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to start by saying that I do like Blake Bortles, and I want him to be our good enough to be our quarterback for the next 8 to 10 years. You know, but I have to agree with what the nice lady was saying earlier about the muscle memory and the throwing mechanics, because I just don't see what good is doing us to keep playing him through the rest of the games, because obviously he's playing bad. He's not accurate. And if he continues to play bad, you know, fans are going to keep talking trash. It's going to keep shooting down his confidence. And we just drafted that Brandon Allen dude because we know Chad Henne isn't going to be our backup forever, you know? So, and Chad Henne hasn't played a down outside of preseason for the last 2 years. You know, what are we paying him for? So, and as if I were Chad Henne right now, I'd feel completely disrespected to see the guy ahead of me playing this bad and the team doesn't even want to give me a chance, you know? Because the problem is Blake is inaccurate right now, and Henne, at least, or Chad Henne from, at least what I remember seeing, is more accurate than how Blake has been playing, you know?
All right, Vaughn, thank you for the call. Personally, I don't care if a player feels disrespected because he doesn't play. I think it was, honestly.
And he doesn't. Chad knows the drill.
Right. But even if he did, so?
Right.
I mean, your job is whatever we say your job is, honestly. Right. And as far as Derek Mark's comments yesterday, I think he's out of line, too, in my opinion. This is not the team speaking. This is me speaking. I mean, it's not about you and your playing time, and you just made it all about you by saying I should be playing more. And you may feel that way. To me, that's a me first attitude to have, and you know, it's corrosive to the locker room and the you know, moving this football team forward. So, Chad may privately feel that way. He's pro enough not to express it. What do you have him here for? You have him in case your quarterback gets hurt. That's the only reason.
When he signed the contract to be the backup quarterback for this, when he signed his contract, this was the drill.
You're not in a competition. You're here in a support capacity.
Right.
You know, I think Brandon Allen was drafted to be the long-term backup to Blake Bortles. That doesn't mean the guys can't surprise you and develop into something more. We don't know. We don't see him on the practice field. We don't know how close he. This may be a guy that they think could be really good at one point, but he's not ready yet. And if that's the case, they may say, you know what? Why are we going to put him in here in a situation where he is set up for failure because he's not ready to go and possibly ruin his potential down the line? I mean, I don't know that that's what they're thinking, by the way. We just can't know that they're not looking at it like that, at least at the present time. Tony, take a look at what Twitter told us, if you would, please, on what folks would do in terms of leaving Blake Bortles in.
Here's what we got. Ringer of Rain said, no, he's not going to bench him yet. See if he can figure it out. Guys do. He set franchise records a year ago, but the clock is ticking. From Brian, yes, but it won't happen. Caldwell is dictating playing time, not Gus. They're evaluating talent, nothing else. From Aussie Jag, no, don't bench him. He has to learn to play through the tough times. Benching him would finish him. From Will, yes, bench him. Maybe they may find a needle in the haystack. From Jarrell, yes, give Brandon Allen a shot. We're already losing, so why not? From Senior Fuentes, no, let him play it out. If he plays decent and we draft a quarterback, there could be a market for Bortles. Good luck with that. Any given Sunday, only drop him if it helps him sort out the technical issues and prevent bad habits from becoming permanent. From Ayo Reek, we got no, can't stomach Henny. We need to find out if 5 is the guy. If he stinks it up, we have a top 3 pick. 2 birds, 1 stone. From Black Dog, yes, bench him without equivocation. Mental reservations or secret evasion for the greater good and his. From Stay Positive, keep starting him. What's the worst that could happen? A win? Laugh out loud. From Daniel, yes, because it's obvious the only hope for Jags is a newcomer to come in and steal the quarterback show. From Alvaro, get him out back to Camp California to get ready for next year. Start Chad. From Cameron, yes, because he needs to be held accountable. Treat him like an adult. Hashtag make Bortles great again. And finally from Jason, yes, Brandon Allen, let him be a game manager, force the run, and if he shows capability, expand his role.
All right, let me quickly boil some of these longer Facebook posts down. Joshua said, yes, it's time for a change. In other words, yes, bench Blake. Nick says, you all realize Allen's mediocre against third string and practice team players in the preseason. Leave Bortles in. Jared said, no, the talent is there. And talking about Blake's talent, we've all seen it. We were all praising him last year. By the way, somebody on the text line said, can't believe how much you guys flip-flop. He was the greatest Jaguar quarterback ever in the offseason. No, we said he had the greatest statistical season in several categories of any Jaguar quarterback. And absolutely, how could you not be bullish on a guy who set the marks for touchdowns and passing? Flip-flop, no. We're looking at the evidence as it presents itself, and we're acting accordingly. That's the way I see it. You know, I don't have any qualms. I don't regret a single thing I said about Blake this offseason at all. I mean, not even close. I was very bullish on him, and I felt like I had every reason to be. Were there cause for concern? Certainly. Led the league in interceptions, but he took such a major step from year one to year two. You expect growth will continue.
Right. Is the key phrase. That was the story with Bortles all offseason. Progress had been made. More needed to be made. The progress that had to be made this year was harder, and he hasn't done it.
All right, it's more 50-50 on Facebook than it is. It's probably 97-3 on Twitter. It's just a quick – and that's fine. Look, that's the reason we asked the question. We're just trying to take the pulse of the fan base here. Despite those who believe that Tony and I are on the payroll and will only talk about team-approved subject matter.
Y'all hear what you want to hear.
You hear
whatever
what you want to hear, and still to this moment have not had anyone from the organization question the way we've handled any issue with this football team, nor try to intercede on subject matter or anything along those lines. So if you want to believe in your conspiracy theories, I can't stop you. Go ahead and feel that way. What do you have, John, coming up? I know Gus Bradley is speaking today.
Yeah, Gus Bradley's day after, and that's
a big... think this is a fair topic? I mean, a conversation, continuing a weekly question that needs to be asked of Gus as long as Blake continues to struggle? Or are you considering
I think it'll be asked. It was asked after the game yesterday. It'll be asked. I don't think it's going to get any traction.
Right.
I mean, it'll be one of those that we talk about a lot. Will anybody in the organization say anything to add meat or to add momentum to it? I don't think so.
All right. So coverage of the press conference, what else you
absolutely
got coming up?
And then we start looking ahead. Yeah, that's
Detroit, Rock City.
Yeah, when you're 2-7, you
try to avoid
looking
going
ahead
2-8.
Yeah, and that's what it is.
I mean, hey, look, there's still
I wrote this
games.
Morning. I wish I had something new. The last couple of games have felt so similar that you're just waiting for them to break out of what seems like a bad pattern.
It really is almost a mystery. How can it just the same kind of thing? How can you know? It's just you see the pick six to start the game, and for me, I'm not going to speak for anyone else but myself. I'm like,
I couldn't believe.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Again, really? I mean, again.
And sort of. I mean, I stepped away last week for one play. It was the Brian Walters punt return that he fumbled, and I came back. The Chiefs had the ball. I went, are you kidding me? I mean,
right?
And that's sort of the reaction of, you know, the one thing you can't. And I'm not saying Brian Walters was for that game or whatever, but those moments, you're like, this was exactly the script that you couldn't write. Turnovers early, you know, the whole thing, and then they do it, and it's maddening, frustrating, all those things.
Yesterday, I had to use the bathroom. I left, and I came back, and Julius Thomas had scored a touchdown. So I tried going three or four more times. I did, and every time I came back, it didn't work. It didn't work. I tried, though.
People thought you had a disease.
I know. Where does Dempsey keep going? I'm trying to do something here for the good of the squad.
For the good.
Right?
Hey,
I'm taking
take one for
the team.
No doubt.
All right. There we go. John Oger. Always with us on Mondays, as long as he gets the engraved invite to join us here on Jaguars
Today. I like
today.
A good invite, and I like a good intro. That's how I roll.
You can see him on Twitter and read him on Twitter at John Oger and, of course, on Jaguars.com. John, thanks for the time, buddy.
Guys, thank you.
All right, there he goes, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey wrapping things up. Thanks again to Wild West Guns and Gold. Thank you to all the Jaguar fans out there who care enough to respond in one way or the other on social media, on the phone lines, the text line, you name it. Glad you still have a pulse and still care about it right now at this point in time. I know it's tough when the record is what it is, so we appreciate all of you out there as well. Coming up next, it's Midday Chalk right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.